This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
12:38. Thank you for joining us on Inside Douglas County. I'm Ashley Claiborne in for Kyle Bailey, and today we're going to be talking about some holiday festivities that we know and love, but also are changing a bit around these current COVID-19 guidelines. Joined today by the Festival of Lights Chair, Brian Prowitz. Brian, welcome.
Hi, Ashley.
Hello,
hello. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. And hope it found you and your family well and stuffed and full and happy.
Oh, yeah. As usual.
So, first of all, the Festival of Lights, maybe somebody's new to the area or somebody's listening Sure. That hasn't had a chance to check it out. Can you describe a little bit more about what somebody could expect for the first time at Festival of Lights?
Yeah. Festival of Lights started as a Rotary project in 1993 with a commitment from the Roseburg Rotary Club with a fellow by the name of Kerwin Doughton, who was the first person who had the vision for it. And he convinced the Rotary Club to basically invest the money that it would take to put some lighted Christmas displays up at River Forks Park. And that little investment back 28 years ago continues today as the Festival of Lights. It's still a Rotary project. Kerwin sort of transitioned out of the chairman role this year for the first time. And so myself and Becky Bright Jones and Tabitha Lehman are essentially the committee that operates the festival on behalf of Rotary. And from that one display, it has grown into more than 90 with more than a 500,000 lights. And I'm sure we'll get into the changes, but it's grown to include the Holiday Village and the world's largest nutcracker and some other attractions that bring people out every year.
And like you said, they're displays, which is a lot different than just hanging Christmas lights. You know, we hang lights around our house and it's in a string, but these displays go far beyond that. Can you describe a little bit of the difference?
Yeah, they're animated characters, if you will. And you can see the different themes that have developed over the years. So there's obviously a Mother Goose nursery rhyme type theme for a section. And then there's an Umpqua Valley section where you see the dunes and wine and some other things depicting the river, depicting Douglas County. So it's in a way, it's a little bit of an advertisement for the area that we love so much. And then there are some other characters in there as well that people will recognize. Like a few years ago, we pulled off what really is kind of a miracle. We got cooperation from Disney to do some Frozen animated displays, and those are in the park. And some other, like, you'll recognize, oh, the Grinch and Santa and animals. So, yeah, there's 90 of them, and they're they're mostly made out of rope lights, and they go all the way throughout the entire park.
And what's really neat about it, from my perspective as a parent, is, and I'm sure other parents have had this same situation where you're taking your kids as they're little, and as they grow and you take them every year, so do the displays. So you come back, and sometimes the next year, you know, your kids have their favorite displays that they like to see, and oftentimes they'll even grow to include more. One of our favorites to watch for new parts of is the baseball game. So I know that that's one a lot of people really enjoy, the baseball game. If you haven't seen it, make sure that just drive around twice if you need to catch it all. It's grown to it like almost a full-size game.
Yeah, that's one of the original ones. And you can also see the evolution of the sophistication of the lights as well. That's one of the more simple ones that we have out there. And then you get into some, there's some sequencing involved in some of those. And so, yeah, and color, obviously, is a big deal. So, yeah, you can see how they've evolved over time.
It seems like it would take a lot of programming or just kind of planning around building just one of those. Like you said, there's 90 displays, but just one of those must take a lot of time. Who's in charge of doing that, and how much does it take?
Well, the actual construction of the signs, the displays, was done by a company up in Lebanon for quite a few years, and they would design them, and I would suppose that they probably ship them all across the country to different similar displays like ours. But And those sometimes can run as much as $20,000 to $30,000. So it's a huge investment each time you add a display or get a new one. So that part of it, like the construction, shipping, delivery, that part can be very expensive, though we've gotten quite a bit of help on that in the last couple of years. But they literally stay in the barn out there at River Forks, and beginning in mid-September, our crew gets all those lights out and starts going through and repairing bulbs that are broken. Maybe they got broken when they were put away, even though they're being really careful, or just, you know, wear and tear on the lights, essentially. I mean, they're out in the weather for, you know, a good 40 days, 45 days each year. So there's quite a bit of work that goes into that. So whether you're talking about the actual displays themselves being built or what it takes to get them into the park, there is tremendous work that goes into that. We have a great field supervisor this year by the name of Mike Zelski, and he and some hard workers have been added out there for 6 weeks or so to get that all set up. So yeah, it takes a lot of work. And we got the Rotarians out there this year as well to help tilt up some of those big displays.
Well, and in nearly 20 years of going out and enjoying the Festival of Lights, I really hadn't considered until you just mentioned it, when you guys start putting everything out or going through everything to even begin to put it out, and checking 500,000 lights one at a time sounds like an awfully daunting task, but we appreciate that you do it. We're going to take a break, actually, for just a moment. We are live with Brian Prowitz, the chair of the Festival of Lights, and talking about the festival and how it's going to be a little different this year, but it is still happening. So we'll be back in just a moment on Inside Douglas County to talk more about those changes, how you can participate, and what to look for. So we'll be right back on Inside Douglas County with News Radio 1240 KQEN. We are back on Inside Douglas County here on News Radio 1240 KQEN, talking about the 2020 Festival of Lights and some of the changes that are going to be happening with the Umpqua Valley Festival of Lights. We're joined with Brian Prowitz and talking about everything that's, we haven't really dug into what's different yet, but I think it's a good time to start talking about it because I know people want to go to the Festival of Lights and take their kids. It's a fun, safe thing to do because you're inside your car, but some of those things have changed, including how you get tickets. So could you tell me a little more about how people are supposed to do the tickets this year?
Yeah, we moved to an e-ticket process this year because our main goal and the only way we determined that we were going to be able to have the Festival of Lights at all, the drive-through portion, was to make sure that people were basically in their cars. And if you think about what the drive-through part of the park is and the displays, it's you're in your vehicle. So we think as long as there's no interaction through a window with, like, sadly, candy canes, or we did a Santa bag where we had some goodies in a bag that we would pass through, or even making change with people at the gate, if we could somehow make it so that the windows stayed rolled up and people would just pull up. And in this case, with an e-ticket, they would have a QR code, a scannable QR code on a piece of paper or a phone that we could scan. And then that would tell us that the ticket was purchased and that they can go through the lights. So yeah, we shifted. It's part of the changes, but the biggest change this year is that our goal is 100% e-ticket only at the gate.
Now, when you say to do that, are the windows going to be rolled up and you just kind of show it through the window?
Yeah, and I forgot to say that you go to uvfestivaloflights.com, first of all. So if you go to our website, uvfestivaloflights.com, or if you find us on Facebook, it'll lead you there. And then you click on the Eventbrite button, you get an email with a PDF. You can print the PDF and have it on a piece of paper or just hold it up on your phone. And then we have signage there that says, keep your windows rolled up and show us your QR code. So through the window, you can get that scanned. It's a very slick process. We've had a lot of success with people understanding how easy it is. So they roll up, we scan them, they show up in the system, we wave at them, and they proceed through the park.
And I know that a few of those things that people do love coming and doing every year at the festival are not happening this year. Can we touch on those really quick?
Yeah, I mean, the Holiday Village is obviously a place where we would want far more than the COVID regulations would allow as far as people inside a building. And so with Santa and the princesses and some of the things that we had, that just wasn't going to happen. So the Holiday Village, the Nutcracker Ballet, which usually kicks us off at the beginning of the year, Those two big events and big additions are not able to run this year. Also, the Nutcracker is not up in the park this year, and some people are missing the world's largest Nutcracker, but he will be back along with the Holiday Village Wagon Rides and the Nutcracker Ballet next year if everything goes right. I'm crossing my fingers with that.
Okay, so with that housekeeping out of the way, we can get back to what is happening. So the Festival of Lights, it's just one of those things that you come to want to do every single year because it's amazing. Like you said, it's really set up to be already a safe environment to be able to take the kids and go do. Sounds like it is a bring your own candy cane sort of event this year, though.
Yeah, it is. We also have a low watt radio station out there playing Christmas music and obviously the lights. And so, yeah, you come out, you know, a lot of people, once you're in the park, you can roll your windows down, you know, like just stay in your car. It's that transaction at the gate. So what we always would do, and I'm sure you do with your girls as well, is, you know, the music comes on, you kind of roll the windows down a little bit if it's nice, you get some fresh air, you listen to the music, you look at the lights, you ooh and ah, and then maybe you go out for dinner, go out for ice cream, whatever, you get it. And in this case, you still get to do all those things. You just got to take it home to enjoy it because of our situation that we're in. But we know this is a part of everybody's holiday tradition. And now we're into the second generation because we've been at it for 28 years.
And the Festival of Lights, a lot goes into it, especially support from the local community and local businesses. Has that been different this year?
You know, the best thing that happened, Ashley, was back in July, and even sooner than that, I mean, when this all hit, we were trying to figure out, we work on this year round, and we heard that Shore Acres wasn't going to have their event, and we started looking at ours and started to try to figure out how we were going to get it done. And one of the first questions was, where are our sponsors? Are they going to be excited about this or worried about it? And the best thing ever, I started calling the sponsors to talk to them. And the response from them was, this has to happen. This is a great thing for the community. We love this every year. We want to be a part of it. Let's make it the biggest and best it can possibly be. And that really got us going. That encouraged us a lot. And we knew at that point we were going to be able to pull this off.
That sounds awesome. That kind of support, just making sure, rallying together to make sure something continues that has been such a warm and wonderful tradition here in Douglas County.
Yep.
And also, speaking of sponsors, are there going to be sponsor nights this year as well?
Yeah, and the first one comes up on Tuesday night, December 1st, is Bi-Mart night. And in fact, when you go to the website and you go through the process to buy a ticket, there's actually a benefit. Bi-Mart customers can save a couple dollars. So you need to check out Bi-Mart and find out what that code is so that you can save $2. But that's this coming Tuesday night, the 1st, and then you can check our website to see when all the different nights are. But we have some of our sponsors have a night where, for instance, if you are with a particular bank or credit union that's a sponsor, you can show your card at the gate and you get in for free. Veterans Night is happening once again. We have Boys and Girls Club Night as well, where the kids can take the parents out and basically spring for the $10 at the gate. So, yeah, canned food night still happening. Trying to think of any others. But, yeah, the whole list is available online at uvfestivaloflights.com.
And any of those special nights, are they – do you need to still go through and kind of register at the website, or is it just, you know, you pull up and show your ID for the bank or for Bi-Mart or however that goes?
Yeah, you just show your card. So no need to have a ticket on those nights.
Very cool. Is there anything that's been like surprisingly different this year aside from the no contact?
Not really. I mean, the drive-through itself is very much like it's been in the past. We're very proud of it. We're very excited that we got up and running on deadline this year. November 22nd was opening night. We were 100% ready. That was really great. And I think people will still get to enjoy it the same way they always will. And I'm hoping that this year, just the fact that it's there, I hope, is inspiring for people and just continues to be part of their tradition for the holidays.
And any personal favorites that you have when you go out to see the lights?
I'm a huge fan of, I love the carousel right inside, right when you come in and look to your right, you're going to see the carousel. It's big and beautiful, and it's one of the classic ones. I think it's really, really nice. And I would like to drop, if I had just an extra moment, I mentioned earlier how much it costs to build these displays. And last season, Convay actually designed and produced and built the auto gift wrapper, which is in the first section when you come in on the right. And those guys have been so, that is a massive contribution to this. And we want to continue that relationship and plan to have them build our future displays as we go, because we want everybody and a lot of businesses in town to experience and be part of this and help it grow.
And what was that website one more time for anybody who wants to look up the either those sponsored days, how to do the canned food donation, or even just to purchase tickets right there?
Yeah, UVFestivalOfLights.com, and you can find us certainly on Facebook.
Wonderful. About 30 seconds left. Is there anything else you want to leave us with?
You know, I know for some people this is a little bit of a hassle. It's a little difficult. There's change, and some of their favorite parts like Holiday Village aren't happening. But we literally had to do everything we could do to make sure this could happen this year. And we hope people will understand that and enjoy, have a little bit of patience at the gate, and just enjoy the Festival of Lights again.
Festival of Lights Chair Brian Prowitz joining us for Inside Douglas County today. Thank you so much for your time.
You bet.
All right. Happy holidays to you too. That's been your Inside Douglas County interview here on News Radio 1240 KQEN. That'll be up as a podcast shortly, so you can share that with friends. And make sure you check out that website and visit the Umpqua Valley Festival of Lights.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.